Hello, this is Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for our Meetings Today podcast. We are really happy to talk to Dominic Bonds, Director of Engagement. An interesting title, we'll talk about that later, for the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia, who is also the president, the new president of ESPA, Event Service Professionals, they're just really critical in facilitating meetings and creating that extremely high level of engagement, and thus the title, Dominique. So why don't you tell us about, first of all, why Director of Engagement? Why this kind of a newfangled title, and it's all about engagement today, isn't it?
It is all about engagement, Tyler. And I will tell you that I have had many titles in my 25 years here at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. But in terms of Director of Engagement, I actually cover a few different aspects for the center and for ASM Global. I am responsible for our talent engagement. So I work closely with our HR team to make sure that our team stays encouraged, engaged, connected, and that there's a sense of belonging. I also oversee our diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. And last, but certainly not least, I oversee our guest experience. So everything from direct contact with our customers in advance of them coming on site, once they're on site, I manage our survey process. So, and I work super close with all of our teams, specifically our operations teams.
And, it's just really, I've always been a fan of event service professionals just because they make things happen. And if you're a meeting planner coming in, especially into a city or destination you may not be familiar with, they're just indispensable. I mean, sales will set up the meeting, facilitate all that. And then the contracts are signed, they're off, trying to bring in additional business. And then it's left to folks in your position and the meeting planners really to make sure that the event is a success, right?
That is beyond correct. So I give kudos to the services professionals at our Convention and Visitors Bureau. The Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau is top tier. Their services team is amazing. And they handle everything for our destination outside of the convention center. Within the convention center, we have, beyond a shadow of a doubt, truly the best event services team. It's led by our Director of Event Management and Business Analysis, Marianne Torres, and her team, to say that not only do they represent what's best about the center, but they also demonstrate what's best about our destination. So when a meeting planner comes in, we're not only responsible for making sure that their event in our venue is exceptional, we want them to leave with a good feeling about their overall experience in Philadelphia and what the residents of Philadelphia represented to them and their attendees. So yes, we definitely are the backbone of ensuring that the event is successful.
And we'll get kind of touch a little more on some of the big things happening in Philly coming up. But I thought I'd just go back to ESPA, Event Service Professionals Association. And I know I've spoken with the past president, Denise Reed, about some of her initiatives in her role there, and especially regarding diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility, and belonging. And I understand that's also a big goal to kind of further the association's efforts in that area, but also to really explore the generational shift happening in the industry right now.
Oh, well, that's a lot, Tyler. So let me just say this. I'm fortunate to have a great relationship with Denise. Through ESPA, we not only became colleagues, but we really became friends and sisters. So a lot of her and I are so aligned on a lot of what we hope for the association. In 2020, when we started the DEI task force, we were just throwing ideas, and our passion was, you know, next level as we thought about the changes that we could hopefully influence and bring to ESPA. So helping to co-author that DI resource guide was huge. Being on the team where we upgraded and updated our accessibility guide, also very instrumental. What we see is that the demographics of ESPA have changed. When I joined ESPA in 2010, I think Dallas, Texas was my first ESPA conference. ESPA was just coming off of the renaming from ACOM to ESPA. And it was very Gen X, which I proudly am. And the makeup was not, it was diverse in terms of male to female, but it wasn't diverse from an ethnicity standpoint. So in these last 14 years, I've seen a significant shift in terms of the racial and ethnicity makeup of ESPA, but I've also seen a huge shift, and I think our numbers coming out of this year's conference demonstrated it, is that the millennial group has clearly overtaken the Gen Xers, and we have seen that generational shift. And with that generational shift comes some ideas that are blowing us all away. And if you could just, I just want to add this because I want to give a shout out to two of my ESPA colleagues, Taya and Bryn, came up with this idea of an ESPA after hours. It was the first time that we did like a little after hours at the hotel. And they noted that oftentimes when their generation is coming to the conference, they go to dinner or they go to the welcome reception, and then there's pretty much nothing to do. So they instituted and initiated and did a magnificent job hosting these after hours events. And there was karaoke and games. And I mean, it was phenomenal. So I know that it's going to kind of be a mainstay of our conventions going forward. And that's just a small piece of what the freshness and the newness of this generation bring, you know, to the association.
And I know we've I think been in the industry about the same amount of time. And I think after hours to me ends about 9 o'clock now.
It sounds so. Like me too. Me too. But I found things. Myself hanging out a bit. I found myself hanging out. I even did a little karaoke. So I mean, my bounce back in the morning isn't the same as their bounce back, but you know,
you're rallying though, right? It's an A for effort in that area.
Right.
So, and tell me, what other things are they after? The millennials, even the Gen Z, and what you know, aside from attendees, which is very important, of course, but even new members coming into ESPA.
So, I'll tell you this, and these are the things that are important to me about really telling the ESPA story in terms of diversity, in terms of being a gender affirming organization, in terms of our commitment to sustainability. So these younger generations are holding associations accountable. They want to know, what are we doing for people? What are we doing for the communities? What's our impact on the communities that we're hosting our association events in? And they want to be able to provide that information to their clients too. So when customers come into venues, they want to know, what is our footprint in the greater community? What does a sustainable event look like, you know? And it's not just, I'm in no way am I diminishing this, because we pride ourselves here at the Pennsylvania Convention Center on our sustainability initiatives. So I'm not just talking about recycling programs. Right. I'm talking about connecting to the culture and the organizations in your community, so that when events leave, if there are event donations, you can give back to your local habitats and to your smaller groups who may not get, you know, those opportunities to receive donations. It is really leaving an impact, really demonstrating to those communities that you appreciate them and you want to find a way to sustainably you know, give back to them. And that generation is pushing for this. It is more than your standard event. It's like, what more can we do?
Yeah, and I really think, I've always thought, and I think it's in the whole DEI space, really one of the most important or interesting pieces to me is trying to develop and encourage supplier diversity.
Correct.
And I think event service professionals, that is, you're on the front line, especially with an organization coming into a destination who really doesn't know who's operating on the ground, doesn't know who vendors who represent, you know, traditionally unrepresented groups may be, or venues that, you know, may showcase sort of parts, cultures in the city that have typically not been represented, and bringing in that economic slice of the pie into those communities.
Absolutely. Tyler, you know, connecting to the culture, we say this over and over again when we're on our DEI committee, it is so important that not only you have this database, you have this list, but that you also have actual awareness of these businesses, right? That you've visited, that you've talked to, that you've met with. And I mean, even hosting things. I mean, we operate a program here at the center called Doing Business with the PCC, and it's very much focused on supplier diversity. But from a services standpoint, you can invite some of these vendors, venue owner and operators into your space, get to know them, talk to them, so that when you are recommending them to groups, you actually have knowledge of these. It needs to be more than just a name or a business on a piece of paper or in a spreadsheet. You need, it helps when you're really connected to the culture. And there are some destinations that are doing amazing work. Of course, I'm going to say our destination does awesome work, but there are some destinations across the United States that are doing amazing work in that space.
And Philly has always been out in front of this. And I think you guys were the first CVB to launch a diversity program, I think under Tom Muldoon even.
I think it was under Tom Muldoon. So PHL Diversity, and it is still thriving. I worked very closely with their executive director, Sheila Alexander Reed. So it is still thriving and making an impact.
Well, and city of first. I mean, Philly.
Absolutely, city of first.
And let's talk about what's going on in Philly. I talk with people in the CVB there, and the 2026 always comes up. What's going on? Why should people be interested about 2026 in Philadelphia?
Well, I think people should be interested every year. The tagline is "Come for Philadelphia, stay for Philly." But 2026 is going to truly be a banner year. We invite everyone to come to Philadelphia. We will be hosting the World Cup. We will be hosting the MLB All-Star Game. We will be hosting the 250th anniversary of the country. So my Latin is horrible, so I'm not going to try and tell you what the actual official term is. So, but this is going to be huge. And we actually have a Welcome America celebration that begins with Juneteenth and ends on the 4th of July. So that time period here in the city is really going to be experiential on a whole different level. So
book your rooms now is what I'm hearing.
Book your rooms now, correct.
And then you also have the MLB All-Star Game, FIFA, all happening. So you're going to be quite busy.
I have to mention, we also host PCMA that year.
That's right.
I can't leave that out.
And then also, I mean, we were talking before we started recording about some of the big shows that come in. What really makes this industry interesting, and your job in particular interesting? Everything from, I think you just finished the tattoo show, and then of course you're gearing up for the flower show. And I don't know, you know, those two groups must have some commonalities. Maybe people have tattoos of flowers on them, but. People do have tattoos and flowers on them.
Yes. So I'll just say this. This first 3 months of the year, I mean, I've been at the center for 25 years. And this first 3 months of the year is always fascinating to me because it's our opportunity to open the doors to the community. Oftentimes we're hosting associations and we're hosting private events, but in these 3 months of the year, we host our public show. It's our public show season. So we just completed the auto show. We had the tattoo show. We have the African-American Children's Book Museum, book fair that comes in this Saturday. And yes, all of this ramps up to the flower show, which is usually our last big public show of that January to March. And, you know, the flower show, still the largest indoor flower show in the world. If you've never been, and Tyler, you told me you've never been, you're going to need to make sure you get here and see the flower show. It's amazing. It ushers in spring in a way that, I'll say this, when we were coming through the pandemic and that show had pivoted to an outdoor show, I think we all missed it on so many levels because it is what brings springtime into your focus. So, yeah. Yeah, busy in Philly.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm after doing this for so long, I mean, that it's like the seasons probably coming through, right?
Exactly. It is. It really is. I mean, you just, there's a different attitude in the air. People are happier. I mean, yeah. If you're unhappy and flowers are around, I don't know what to tell you, right?
Right. I know. If you can't be happy by the look and smell of flowers, I mean, you know, you got some work to do on
That's
yourself.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And maybe we can end with, you know, as someone who's from Philly, are there any, I know you can't play favorites, but any sort of interesting stuff you think planners should check out bringing a group into town?
Well, I will tell you that, I mean, of course, we have our history, right? Top tier. And my friends in Washington and Boston may fight against me on that. But from a historical standpoint, we are the city of first, right? The first convention. So I would always say our history. But we have some unique, fantastic neighborhoods. We have a restaurant. I know you've seen, I can't quote the number, how many James Beard nominations we got for food. So from our restaurant scene to our arts and culture, we are a destination that I think sometimes gets pigeonholed just into the Liberty Bell, but there's so much more. So I just encourage any meeting planners to explore some of our neighborhoods, explore up and coming Fishtown neighborhood and, yeah, and our Queen Village. We just have so many great neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, when I have friends visiting there, and I've had a connection there for a while, but I tell them just, you know, they ask me what could I do, and I go walk around the neighborhoods, go to Fishtown. There's like cool little corner stores,
right,
local businesses, restaurants. It's like a very more accessible New York City, or like way kind of Manhattan used to be maybe 20, 30 years ago, right?
Yes, I think that there is just so many, from shops to small little cafes to museum. There's just so much to see. There's so much to see. I'm not going to compare us to New York because we are uniquely Philadelphia. So I'm just going to say our neighborhoods are worth the visit.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for joining us today, Dominique.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you so much.
And I hope to see you in Philly and go to that flower show someday.
I hope to see you at the flower show.
And that was Dominique Bonds, Director of Engagement for the Pennsylvania Convention Center, also the new president of ESPA. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. If you're interested in more of our podcasts with meetings and events industry thought leaders, head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section. Thanks for joining us today. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of it, go out and make it great.